Bonjour. Welcome back to the Warrior School podcast, Warrior. I wish I could say that in French, but I've just got hello. Bonjour. I did take French in high school. I think I took it in year 7, 8, and 9, maybe even 10. but I can't remember many words. I can remember merci, merci beaucoup, au revoir, parlez-vous français, and then I think I can count to 10. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if anyone out there that's listening to me can speak French, I know that I'm not doing a great job. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I think I got to 13. I think that's it. So, bonjour. Welcome to episode 261. Last night, I was sitting there watching some YouTube, and I'm not a really big YouTube watcher. Carson, he is a big YouTube watcher. He loves the YouTube. But I was doing some research for a project that I'm working on, and I was watching a video on Louis Vuitton. So Louis was a French fashion designer and businessman who created Louis Vuitton in 1854. Isn't that wild? Doesn't that blow your mind that one of the biggest, most famous luxury fashion brands in the world still to this day, actually I think they're the leader, was founded in the 18th century in 1854. Wild. It blows my damn mind. The history of Louis Vuitton, the fashion designer, and of the brand is actually extremely fascinating, very interesting. And I won't get into that here today, but I do want to talk about a concept that came up in one of the videos. And this is, the term is called savoir-faire, and it means know-how, literally knowing, which is savoir, how to do, which is faire. It means competence and experience and expertise, knowing the right course of action and knowing what to do and say and when and how to do so. And I loved it. When I heard it, I thought, this is a really cool idea or concept. So savoir-faire in fashion has been at the heart of Louis Vuitton since its inception or its creation in the 18th century, so over a century ago. They stand for this uncompromising quality and breakthrough creativity. And that's really what savoir-faire stands for. It gestures towards this spirit of quality and relentless innovation that has really defined the brand for over 160 years. And they know how to make great product. They know how to create a great brand because they've been doing it for that long. They've had savoir-faire for 160 years. So they have this know-how, to do when it comes to creating luxury fashion. They were talking about how savoir-faire can manifest differently between various trades and handicrafts. So it could look differently in the fashion world to the architectural world, but the core principles are the same. And the core principles of savoir-faire are technique, expertise, and skill. So when I was researching it and looking it up, there is like an English translation, and it usually refers to behavior. So to describe a person who knows how to act tactfully and well and gracefully in social situations. But within the fashion design industry, within the fashion world, savoir-faire is really evident in the creative process. So it's about the process of creation or making the product. It's about the craftsmanship. And the designers who prioritize this craftsmanship and pay, you know, have meticulous attention to detail and every stitch are exuding savoir-faire. And it's this like this relentless obsession with detail. And that's the key to this idea or this concept. And it really ensures that when the final piece, you know, when they've created that final piece, it not only meets the aesthetic standards, but also the standards as a testament to the artisan's expertise. It shows that the person making the thing is an expert. They have savoir-faire, a knowing how to do. So then I was thinking about it when it comes to training and savoir-faire in health and fitness. To have savoir-faire in health and fitness is to know how to do it, a knowing, but a knowing how to do it for you. And I think this is what is missing in women's health and fitness. I think this is what is missing in your journey, your practice, is savoir-faire, a knowing how to do. The one of the hardest things when it comes to health and fitness is knowing how to put it all together. We have access to so much information and so much education. And I often say it's not an information or an education problem. We are very aware of what we need to do to support our health and our fitness. The problem is that we don't have savoir-faire. We don't have this knowing how to do, this confidence in knowing how to do. And that's one, because we haven't had this, the way to do it, the plan, the strategy passed down to us over the last 160 years. It's only very recent in the last, you know, 5, 7 or so years that we now have, you know, some amazing women working in this women's health and fitness space. We know things that maybe we didn't know before around how to support our hormones, the importance of nourishing our body, of strength training. But the thing that's missing is the savoir-faire. That's what we need. That's what we're chasing. That's what we're after. And so I wanted to talk through an example. And this example is of James Bond. And it's going to help you, because your success in your health and fitness journey will be because of finding savoir-faire. It will be because you know how to combine technique, expertise on yourself, and skill. It's because you will know how to create a practice that is unique to you. So if you think of James Bond, he's able to adapt and navigate any situation and any environment. No matter where he finds himself, you know, he could be in a high-stakes casino in France. He could be in a ski lodge in the Swiss Alps. He could be in a fishing village in Japan. He knows what to do. Whether he's trying to seduce a beautiful woman, or he's maybe trying to discern whether someone is a friend or a foe, he knows how to respond. He's got this sureness about him, this polished sureness, especially in social behavior. So when I was reading and digging up on the term, if you look at it from the English side, it's about describes a person who knows how to tactfully and gracefully act in social situations. And that really is James Bond. He does everything with this ease and smoothness. And I found a quote from him, which is from one of the Bond movies, which says, "I take pleasure in the polish and finesse which I can bring to my operations to impart an absolute rightness, a high elegance to the execution of my affairs. Each day, I try to set myself still higher standards so that each of my proceedings may be a work of art, bearing my signature." And I really love that. And I've been talking a lot lately about this idea of owning the movement and how when we own the movement, we own the practice. And beautiful bodies need beautiful movement. And often when you watch someone with a beautiful body, when you watch them perform their sport or their training or their skill, it seems effortless. It's that tons of effort went into producing that physique and that body and even the skill of being able to do the movement. So, and think of someone that's really good at playing music. So when a master pianist plays this flawless piece, we see the beautiful finished product, but we're missing the thousands and thousands of hours of practice it took to achieve that result. It's the same with training. When someone says to me, "You make it look easy," they're seeing the end product, but they're not seeing the hundreds and hundreds of hours over the last 10, 11, 12 years of practice that produces. So it is with this attainment of savoir-faire that's how we produce that result. So knowing how to act in any situation and do so smoothly requires extensive training and preparation and practice. To look like you're not trying hard, you have to try very hard when no one's looking. And that's when we think of James Bond, that's what he makes us think, that it just comes easy. This training involves, so his training, when we're still looking at this example of how he can adapt to any situation or any environment. To be able to do that, he's had to train a lot. It's the same when it comes to training. To have the confidence to be able to adapt the movement, the program, the plan, to be able to develop different strategies, to be able to adapt to what your body is saying, to the environment, to what's going on in your world, involves, we need to develop some skills. And we also need to develop our mind. If you think of savoir-faire in fashion, and for Louis Vuitton over the last 160 years, the products that they produce, it may look effortless and beautiful, but they have 160 years of practice, of passing down skill sets and of mastering the art of creating clothing. So we're going to look at a few. We're going to look at some skill sets and in particular in reference to our James Bond analogy. And we can think of these, you know me, I love a framework or I love a foundation. So you can think of these as like the foundation of savoir-faire. But I'm sure the French have more elegant ways to put it. And if you were to ask someone in the fashion world that is very familiar with this term, they probably have a framework of their own. Or maybe there's no framework. It just is something that comes through hundreds of hours, thousands of hours of practice. So the first one, if we think of James Bond, and he has a knowing how to do in any situation and knowing how to act, how to talk, how to get out of a situation, how to save a person. The first thing he has is tactical skills. So he has tactical skills, and then he has physical skills. Then he has diplomatic skills. He's really good at improvisation. He can perform rigorous reconnaissance. He's aware and he gathers clues. He has a clear mind and he follows his intuition. So we could actually use these foundations or these skills, and we could develop them. So when it comes to our training, we have physical skills. So actually learning how to train properly, owning the movement. And within owning the movement, there are skills that we can work on. Intention, range of motion, technique, traction, flow and fluidity. We could have tactical skills. So these could be skills that we use when things are coming up in our life or in our body, and we have to adapt and modify the training, the plan, the program, the nutrition in the moment to be able to support what's going on. So that would be tactical. Diplomatic skills, that would be around communication and setting boundaries. So can you have artful conversations? Can you ask for what you need? How is your communication? And then how are you at improvisation? This is really hard for a lot of women. They're not very good at improvising. And it does take practice to be able to have the confidence to improvise in the moment when things don't go to plan. But that's a skill that you can develop to help you get more savoir-faire. Also, performing rigorous reconnaissance. Think about that as like collecting data. That's why paying attention and being aware and having your notebook or your journal or tracking, wearing a device, doing your food tracking, that's reconnaissance. That is you collecting data, information. Think about James Bond. He has to collect information on the people, the problem, the task. And we need to do that ourselves. We need to do rigorous reconnaissance and gather information. Then the other one is be aware and gather clues. So this is, I talk to my warriors all of the time. Awareness, what's going on in the mind, what's going on in the body, what's going on in the actions and the behaviors. Let's gather clues. What patterns are we finding? What is the body telling us? Then clear mind. We've got to have a clear mind. If we want to find savoir-faire and knowing how to do when it comes to our health and fitness, our mind, the warriors often think that the training will be the hardest thing, but it's actually our mind and the story that we tell ourselves and our mindset. And a lot of us really need to work on having an elegant mind. And also what helps with a clear mind is energy. We need energy for a clear mind. We need to sleep. We need to get sunshine. We need to go walking. We need to do things that bring us joy. We need to be outside in nature. And then following our intuition. That is, if you think of, you know, when Louis Vuitton started the company in 1854, intuition, it started off intuition. He just had this idea or this intuition that those boxes or those cases would be better with flat tops. And then he had the intuition to put a pattern, a stripe pattern. And then his son, when his son took over, you can see it in the story of them following their intuition. And that comes with practice as well. And sometimes we're not going to get it right, but we've got to follow that gut feeling. Or I often say, what do your ovaries tell you? What do they tell you? Follow your intuition. So we, you know, when we think of James Bond, he trains for specific situations. He does. When he's in situations, you can tell that he has trained for those situations. And what we do inside of Warrior School is that we train for specific situations, or we make plans and strategies for specific situations. Low energy, mentally overloaded, sickness, poor time, you know, sick little humans, travel, whatever the situation is, you can train for it. You can make a strategy. Then the other thing he does is he carries ample tools. He always has things on him. Certain devices, you know, a knife, a gun, a rope. I don't really watch James Bond that often, but I've seen a few. But he's always carrying things around that help him perform his tasks, that help him get out of a situation. And we can carry things around like that with us too. You know, we can use tools in our training. We can use tools like devices to help us track our food and track our sleep, so we can learn more about ourselves and our patterns and our habits and our behaviors. The thing when I was doing my reading and thinking about this example, one of the things that I really love was this idea of establishing a getting ready routine that instills confidence. So if you watch some of the scenes, he has this routine that he does to get ready. And you can tell that instills this confidence in him, this readiness. So that's another thing that we can do. If you think about how they approach making a garment, piece of fashion or a shoe, they would have a whole routine that creates it, that instills the confidence in the artisan. And so you could establish this getting ready routine, getting ready to train routine. Then he has a plan. You've got to have a plan and you've got to know your plan. And it's okay if the plan changes, but we've got to have a plan. And the last thing that he does when he walks into a room, if you watch him, he observes, he orients himself, he decides, and then he acts. And we could do that too. We can observe, then we can orient with our circumstances, what our body's telling us, our situation, our training, then we can decide, and then we can act. And doing these things can help us build more savoir-faire. It will help us know how to do. This is the practice. The practice is knowing savoir-faire, knowing how to do. And the way that we learn this, the way that we know how, is just through time. It is through time, through trying things on, through practicing, through learning, through paying attention, learning from others, focusing on the skill, the technique, the expertise within the practice. It's about owning the movement. Okay, warrior, it was an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you. Go and find your savoir-faire. Warrior woman, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't, please give the podcast some love by subscribing now. And if you enjoyed this episode, please rate it and share it with another warrior woman. Also, if you want to go crazy, I'd love if you wrote a review for the Warrior School podcast. And also share and tag me with your biggest takeaways for the episode on the gram. Okay, warrior woman, have a great week in training. Bye for now.